Welcome to Living Water Radio. This is our 210th podcast, which is appropriate because, like the 210 freeway, it contains anguish and bewilderment. It seems to go slow, but then it goes fast, and it is a stark reminder of human limitations in the face of the call to obedience. In the end, it gives both hope and direction. My name is Pastor David Burkittall. My wife, Reverend Sally Welch, is co-producing this podcast. Sally is a Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, United Church of Christ ordained minister, focusing on ecumenical and interfaith ministry. I served Lutheran Christian congregations in Compton, California, and in San Dimas, California, for over 40 years. Today, maintaining our yard is my gym, and I'm active as a volunteer in the leadership of the more than 100 Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregations in our area. Between the two of us, we have over 80 years of ordained ministry experience. Check out our first Living Water Radio podcast, number 0, Welcome and Introduction, for more information about us and this podcast. In our last podcast, Breakfast on the Beach, we looked at a passage from John where Jesus had appeared to his disciples for the third time after his torture, death, and his resurrection. He was hanging out with them at the Sea of Galilee, and he had organized the Breakfast on the Beach. The disciples were kind of discombobulated by what had just happened, and who wouldn't be? Not only did they have no context for believing that Jesus had risen from the dead, even though he had said that he would, and they had seen and interacted with him, but all of them had abandoned Jesus when things got rough. Let's just say that his appearances felt a little awkward for all of them, but especially for Peter. He was the big guy, the impulsive believer, the bold actor. After the Last Supper, this had happened in Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. So how did that turn out? Here's what happened in John 18, verses 15 through 18, and 25 to 27. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed. Here they are now on the beach in Galilee, as Jesus had predicted, with the disciples who had all deserted Jesus in his hour of need, as Jesus had predicted, with Peter, who had denied he even knew Jesus 3 times, also just as Jesus had predicted in John 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go to wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." If anyone could have thought that God hated them, it would have been these seven disciples who, after two post-resurrection appearances by Jesus, had left town and gone back to what they knew, commercial fishing on the Sea of Galilee. So what happened when Jesus appeared to them again, nearly 80 miles from Jerusalem? Did Jesus say, "I told you so," to any of the disciples? No. Did he express anger? No. Hatred? Rejection, even disappointment? None of the above. In fact, Jesus gave Peter, who had denied Jesus three times, the chance to repent and be reconciled to God three times. He asked Peter if he loved him. How many times? Three. Three times, to the point of Peter's even now uncomprehending hurt feelings. How did Jesus answer when Peter responded to Jesus' questions with statements of faith? "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." He recommissioned him. He called him. He invited him to be his disciple. But what about that business about old age? Anyone who's been to a convalescent hospital lately has seen people with cloth tied around them so that attendants can grab them to keep them from falling. It's not a pretty picture. They say that inside every old person is a young person saying, "What happened?" I believe that's true. I saw a t-shirt the other day that said, "It's weird being the same age as old people." Who knows where we're heading? God knows. There's something else here, though. Having your hands tied, being bound and led away, is what happened before an execution. The old Peter would learn this when his life was not about what he wanted, but about following Christ, this time all the way to the cross, his cross. It said that Peter was sentenced to be crucified, but protested that he was not worthy to die as the Lord Jesus Christ did. So they crucified him upside down. Who knows where we're headed? God knows. I've heard people joke that if they ever went into a church, the roof would fall in on them. They were joking, but I think that there's an element of real fear there too. Where do they get that? Are they afraid of being judged? Have they listened to the voice of the devil saying, "Give up, you're such a hypocrite, give up"? Do they think that God hates them? Today we see how God is disposed to sinners at the breakfast on the beach. So, how is this event on the beach in Galilee like the 210 freeway? It contains the anguish and bewilderment of Peter in the presence of Jesus. It seems to go slow, but then goes fast into a word of grace and recommissioning. It is a stark reminder of human limitations and the call to obedience even in the face of death. And in the end, it gives us guidance and direction in the call of Jesus, "Follow me." Jesus calls us to repentance and faithfulness and restores our call to mission in an act of remission. Jesus opens the way by his death on the cross and calls us to new life. As Augustine said, "There's no saint without a past and no sinner without a future." Why did Jesus do this? Why did he give his life to reconcile all we sinners, deserters, and deniers to God? What is God's response to those who are afraid that God hates them? The answer is the good news, the gospel, expressed in what 16th century church reformer Martin Luther called the gospel in miniature, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Today, let's remember to pray for all those who have yet to get the vaccines and the booster, because they are most at risk to themselves and to others. And let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer sometime today, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBurkettall and we'll send it to you. Send your prayer requests to either of the same addresses and we'll include them next time. Send your comments there as well. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated. Open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship service they have available. And support your church financially so that it will be fully functioning as we move now out of the variants and back into the new normal. Support your pastor and church leaders. Pray for them and help them in any way that you can. They're trying to find their footing. They're trying to keep everybody happy. You know how impossible that is. Support them. Pray for them. If you or a loved one are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody, contact a friend or a relative, Google a local national hotline, talk with a professional, reach out. You are not alone. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time and into the light. Wear a mask when you're outside your home, practice social distancing, wash or sanitize your hands regularly, get your vaccine. It's the one thing you can do to keep lowering the curve and to literally save lives. Do it for the sake of others. Avoid crowds if you can, and be outside if you have to be in a crowd. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with, especially those who are sacrificing their security to provide for yours. We all struggle in some way. Be a helper and an encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together during this global pandemic. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.